One of the very familiar images that we have for the Eucharist is calling it the breaking of the bread. And it makes wonderful sense of Jesus and comes from the scriptures of Jesus taking the bread and breaking it and blessing it and then giving it. And so the notion that in the Eucharist we are nourished by Christ, the bread of life, is something that we readily understand. The interesting thing is that the church has taken that very ancient image of breaking and also applied it to the liturgy of the word, and so speaks of breaking open the word of God, which is a somewhat different image and one perhaps that we might not be as either familiar with or comfortable with. Breaking open the Word of God. And what it really means is allowing these scriptures, the Word of God, to speak to us and speak to our lives. What does God's Word have to say to all of us who are gathered here in a personal way? What does God's Word have to is speaking to me and my situation and my life? At the beginning of Mass, I mentioned a number of things that are very much on the consciousness of our country as we gather this 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and that we certainly can be lifting up in our prayer today. And so perhaps the question is, what does God's Word have to say to all these things that are going on that we're very aware of? If we look at the readings that we have, probably the one that is the simplest and most straightforward is the Pope's letter on the environment, because we have this wonderful image from our first reading from the book of Job of God speaking as the creator of all, basically saying to Job, so Job, you're so smart and you know all these things and so you can speak with such authority. Just out of curiosity, where were you? And how much of this creation are you responsible for? And Job hears that, you know, and recognizes that God is the creator and he, Job, is creature. And yet God has blessed us with the wonder of creation. And St. Paul, in our second reading, reminds us not only are we created by a good and loving God, not only have we been given the gift of life, but also we are part of God's new creation in Jesus Christ, in our dying and rising with Jesus. And so the Holy Father reminds us in his encyclical of our connectedness with creation, but also the call to reverence and to care for the world that God has given us. Father's Day doesn't jump out in exactly the same way, but I would submit today that our second reading speaks to us of what is really at the heart of what we're celebrating. Christ died for all, so that those who might live no longer for themselves. That's Christ who our Redeemer, who laid down his life for us. And St. Paul reminds us that we who have shared in Christ's death and resurrection by our baptism are called to live the life of disciples. And so in that sense, our life is not our own. It's not about us anymore. And so Paul says to us that we might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And that is what Christian discipleship is all about. But I would also submit on this Father's Day that it points to the real gift of fatherhood and of motherhood. You know, our society, and especially all of those who are involved in the buying and selling, all the aspects our consumer culture have done a very good job of co-opting all the holidays. And so this is Father's Day weekend, so of course we have special deals. You know, come and take advantage of it. And of course, it's Father's Day, so you want to get something for Dad. And so all the people who have an angle that they think is a good market for Dad, you know, those advertisements are out there. You know, and so let's honor Dad, and so let's get him something. Let's honor Dad, so let's take him out, you know, to the food that he's going to enjoy, you know, and so honor him that way. And let's, you know, so let's raise Dad up. And, you know, that's what Father's Day celebration means, buying and selling and doing it a way that's going to be good for Dad. And by the way, if you see something for yourself, that's not a bad thing either. That's a focus. St. Paul gives us a very different focus. Reminds us that a father is someone who is in relationship with someone else and who is called to live not for himself, but for the other. And so, being a father, being a mother is to live in that way, in relationship, and for the sake of someone else. And so the beautiful thing about Father's Day, as is true for Mother's Day, is that we are honoring the people around us, the people who are in our midst, who become an image of what a true disciple of Jesus is. And even more, an image of Christ himself, who poured out his life for the sake of us all. And in that precious bond of a real father, a real mother, we see that image of Christ who lives for others and who shows us a love that is indeed sacrificial. And our society, our world, certainly needs fathers who live like that. And one of the things that there's been conversation around is how in our country we need to have more men in people's lives, especially in the lives of young boys and of young men, to show them what real fatherhood means, what it really means to live for others. And so St. Paul reminds us of that, the great gift of being assigned a sacrament, if you will, of Christ who died for us all. Our gospel today, I think, is one Jesus' two questions there. We have to take to heart. Jesus said to them, "Do you not yet have faith?" And in Mark's gospel, the correct answer almost always is no. They really don't have faith. Do you not understand? No, they really don't understand. That's usually true. But I think we have to take the first question very seriously. Why are you terrified? And this is where I think we tend to sell the disciples short. We have to remember who they were. They were fishermen. They were professionals. So they knew boats. They knew the lake. They knew the storms. Why are you terrified? The answer is because it was really that bad. They knew what they were doing. They knew how bad the storm was. They could see the water coming into the boat. And to be terrified was probably a very rational response. And so we have to take that seriously. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep. And in a sense, that makes sense too. There's an interesting comment in the first part of the gospel. They took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus was a landlubber. Let's remember that. He was from the hill country. He was from Nazareth. What did he know about boats? What did he know about sailing? I haven't had much experience with sailing, but I do know this much. is that when you're sailing and you're not a part of the crew or you don't have experience, what your first and most important job is to do is to stay out of the way and to let the people who do it. And if they tell you to lean a certain way, you lean that way. And they tell you to stop it, you stop it. So does it make great sense? Yeah, Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep. He's out of the way. And what are they doing? They are doing their job. And what are they doing? They're trying to manage the sailing, and their goal is to get the boat safely across and into port. The striking thing about that is to pay attention not just to what they're doing, but how they're doing it. They are using their knowledge, their skill, their expertise. And that's what they're relying on. And they're hoping that together with that boat, it's going to be good enough. Now, the interesting thing is, Jesus is right there with them the whole time. Jesus is right there. But they don't pay any attention to that because they're the experienced ones. They're the professionals. They know how to sail. They know how to deal with storms. They know how to bail. They're doing what they can, and they're trusting in that. And only when it's overwhelming, suddenly do they remember Jesus, wake them up and say, don't you care? We're perishing here. How often is the same true for us when we're dealing with the storms of life, the problems of life? Most of the things that we deal with in life are things that are pretty familiar to us. Especially as we become adults, especially as we live a little while, they become things that we've been there before, we've seen before. Maybe, if not personally, certainly we've learned something from the people who are around us. And so what do we expect? We expect that we should meet those challenges. We should deal with those storms. We should use our knowledge and our experience to resolve our problems. And we know maybe that we can't do it by ourselves, so we use our network, the network of family, the network of friends, maybe the network of other experts, and together, perhaps then figure out that's going to be enough. That's the expectation. What Mark reminds us of today is that Jesus is in the boat the whole time. He is with us, not someplace else, removed from us, but with us, right in the middle of that voyage, from the very beginning to the end. As Mark says, just as he is. And how often is it that just like these disciples, it is only when we're really in over our head and we know it, when things are really falling apart and we recognize it, then we say to the Lord, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care disaster's happening? Don't you care we're perishing? Do something. And then, of course, if it falls apart, if disaster happens, if it doesn't work out, what's the temptation? Well, blame God. God, I prayed to you. Why didn't you fix it? Why didn't you help? Why didn't you make a difference? And that's why Jesus' question, do you not yet have faith? The time for the disciples to reach out was not when the water was coming into the boat and they recognized they couldn't handle it anymore. But wasn't the time to involve the Lord right at the beginning? How often are we mindful that the Lord is with us from the very beginning and is making the whole voyage with us and is there to accompany us. Yes, Jesus was a landlubber, and so he wasn't going to sail the boat. And he relied then on the disciples to use their knowledge and their skills and abilities to sail, to complete the voyage. And so most of the time, in the same way, God expects us to be responsible, to use our gifts, to use our abilities, to call on the community, to help and sustain us in the storms and trials of life. But also, the Lord is indeed with us. And it is in him who we hope, and it is in him we believe. Or do we not yet have faith?